Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth this week with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Yes, no one's on vacation. It is true. Mark Kohler, Matt Sorensen. Matt, give him a little verbal verification. It is you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be back. Really. And, the radio show is really the
only reason you came back.
Yeah, that's the best part of being back in the office is I get to be on the radio show again.
Yeah. Well, you know, Matt and I, we're type A movers and shakers. We get things done, and about 3 days after vacation with our family, we're clawing at the walls. You know, we're just like, let me out of here. Yeah. And our wives are like, why do you want to go get on your computer?
Yeah. Well, some people like miss their bed. I'm like, I miss my emails.
We're sick and twisted. That's all there is to it. Well, for any of you that are new listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a great show today. Matt and I are both attorneys. I've got a little CPA twist behind my name and credentials, and we're going to talk taxes today. We've got a great topic today. We're going to be talking about the, you know, getting started with the self-directed IRA. This is a huge, huge topic in the industry of wealth building, and it's really something that Wall Street doesn't want you to know about. So we're going to break it down, expose you to the hidden benefits of self-directing. And I've got an amazing guest I'm going to be interviewing today, the one and only Matt Sorensen.
Yeah, of course, this is our show, so of course we're going to interview me. Not just because it's, you know, I'm a co-host on this show, but maybe no. Because I have the number one best-selling book in the industry. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Now, and I have to give a disclaimer here. We have some amazing guests join our show on a regular basis. Many of you have seen our iTunes podcast history. We have some great topics. But you know what? We don't take enough time on a regular basis to talk about self-directing the IRA in a basic fundamental way for an entire show. And I even kind of twisted Matt's arm and I said, let me interview you. Let's just talk about it and tell me what's going on. We were in a staff meeting today, literally. And the amazing Matt Sorensen was throwing down some new rules and all of the attorneys were sitting there going, huh, I didn't know that. I mean, that's what happens here inside the honeycomb right here. Yeah, it's top secret. But yeah, we're going to share some of that secret sauce with you guys today. If you have never listened to our show, let me tell you where to find more about us. Please go to refreshyourwealth.com. Refreshyourwealth.com. We've got two amazing ebooks that are for free. You can download, join our weekly newsletter that is free as well with weekly tips, deadlines, videos, articles. We want to be your tax and legal resource on your way to building your American dream. Please check us out there. And if you have a good experience today, any of you that are even regular listeners, please take an extra 10 seconds and give us a little 5-star review. Say something nice and sexy about me and something kind of nice about Matt. And then send us an email and we'll send you a free copy of one of our books for that nice little compliment. So there you go. Matt, how are you feeling? How was that intro?
God, this is just, you're killing it today. So I love that. And before we get into the topic, though, of course, we like to break out a little tax and legal tip, maybe a little off topic of what we're talking about to make sure you just get a little juicy nugget of information. And I'm going to give today's legal tip. God, it's a really good one.
So humdinger?
That's a humdinger. You could say that.
Okay. There we go.
All right. Here we go.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right, now you ready for this? This is some really wise wisdom. Okay. Just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty.
Oh, man. People versus OJ, baby. By the way, okay, we got to digress here for 2 seconds because, Matt, that is an awesome quote. Just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty. So we have a must-watch movie list to be a part of our show. I hate to say it. There's a requirement here. Guys, it's give and take. You just can't listen to our podcast and take, and not give a little. So we have to have you watch these movies to enhance your experience here on our show. And one of those is going to be the people versus OJ, which epitomizes your quote there, man.
I know. He's, you know, the juice is loose now, too. So,
well, soon. I think what is it, October? I guess it gets.
Oh, okay. He got his parole.
Apparently, when you're awarded parole, you have to sit around for a while before you get out. But, Matt, I know, okay, on this digression, real quick, you had a couple movies that you were going to put on our must watch movie list.
Yes. So, mine is A Few Good Men. This is also, I'm going to give you a real legal tip here briefly, by the way. That was just a funny joke. But here's another one. A Few Good Men, a very important lesson to be learned from A Few Good Men is it goes with my joke there, because, you know, Tom Cruise is there. He's trying to help this Lance Corporal Dawson. And he says, it doesn't matter whether you did it or not. It only matters what I can prove in court. Okay. Mm. So it kind of goes with the other way on my earlier tip there. So A Few Good Men. Of course, Tommy Boy, Mark. I mean, there's a lot of lessons there.
Yeah. Some call it a comedy. Frankly, I don't get it. Tommy Boy is all about estate planning.
Yeah.
Because when Tom Callahan blew it with his estate plan, mind you, he was enamored with Bo Derek, but.
I mean, she was pretty good looking, you know, for that age. And, but he, you know, he missed the prenup, didn't have the estate plan in order, and.
Yeah, it's a tough show to watch because it's sad and depressing. But if you get around to Tommy Boy, we will quote it from time to time. I'm just going to throw out a couple. This is going to be on Refresh Your Wealth. So when you get there, folks, we're doing a little facelift of the website. It may be within days, but really soon. We've already seen the beta site for this. It's looking good. But you're going to have a whole list of movies that you need to watch in order to participate. I'm throwing out, Matt, also Rainmaker with Matt Damon. For you younger folks, that's Jason Bourne.
Yeah. You know, I love the new Bourne movie. It's just a picture of his face and it says, "You know his name." Dude, they don't even say what the movie is. They don't even say like Bourne Identity or Jason Bourne. It's just, "You know his name."
that's typecasting at the worst. That's like William Shatner. "You know his name."
Yeah. Captain, you know what this movie's going to be about.
Yeah, poor William Shatner. He had no other job in life. But, well, if Matt Damon's okay with that. So, anyway, Rainmaker, I was just watching it with my wife the other night. Classic movie about, you know, trial and court and personal injury. But I love the estate planning in that, when that little old lady, his landlord, was like, "My kids, they steal everything. Cut, 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 cut." So I told my 12-year-old, "You got to come watch this, because I'm going to cut you out of the estate plan if you don't sit down and watch this." So. Anyway, well, those are just a few. Fletch, always a classic. Fletch will be on the list.
Yeah.
Need I say more? I don't even need to explain that. It's just on the list.
Yeah, and this is not a comprehensive list. This is just a sample. This is just a sample.
We're just giving you the sample today. Okay, Matt, back to this, this amazing legal tip. What do you got for us? We're screwing around way too much.
All right. Well, I want to give a real tip about if you've had a situation where you need to file a lawsuit. Sometimes we get people, they're in their business, they've invested in something, or they got some, you know, a real estate investment, whatever it is, and they're not getting paid, or somebody at their end owes them money. And their immediate reaction, unfortunately, is, "Oh, they haven't paid me, I need to sue them." And sometimes that's where you need to go. You need to go to court and get a judge and get a judgment and then go collect on that. But that should really be the last step you take. I just want to give a couple tips of what to think about first before you go to the lawyer and say, "I need a lawsuit." First,
get emotional.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't get emotional. Be logical. Try and work something out. See if you can come to an arrangement on something. Have a nasty letter sent first. If you want to go to the lawyer, you feel like you need outside help after you've exhausted your options to collect on it, have a lawyer just write the nasty letter to say, "Hey, this person's serious. They paid money to a lawyer, and I'm going to sue you if you don't, you know, pay this person back or make good on whatever the arrangement was." And then the last thing is, if you're going to file a lawsuit, and this is probably the most important part of the tip, is make sure that other party can pay you back if you get a judgment against them. So if you go to the expense of winning, if you even get your attorney's fees awarded to you, and you have a piece of paper that says, "I'm owed money and this person must pay me." If that person doesn't have money, if they don't have assets, if they're on the verge of bankruptcy, you've just won a piece of paper. And that's not what you were in this for, right? So make sure they have the resource to pay it back. I had a client recently get a judgment It's just not a rental property situation and a tenant that kind of trashed the place and didn't pay rent. And the judgment is totally worthless, despite having to pay thousands of dollars in legal fees to get it. So just keep that perspective in mind as you're in business relationships or investment relationships and you need to actually go to court.
Yeah, I like it. And Matt, can I add something?
Yes.
Can I piggyback? May the representative from the state of Idaho put a rider on your bill?
Yes, you may.
Okay, right. So
the chair recognizes the gentleman from the state of Idaho.
Thank you, chairperson. I wanted to add to this. I had a family member call this week, and they were just this last week. It was in the last 7 days. Pissed off, you know. And I get, you know, when you're a lawyer, you have these family members calling for free legal advice. Yes, and they called up, and they're like mad. They want to file a lawsuit, and I said, slow down. This is not worth the money. And I go, even if you didn't pay me, it's not worth the time and money. I mean, it's just not worth it. Said to her, and I also was talking to my wife right after the call, and I just said, and I believe this, I said over 50% of lawsuits are emotional. They're not even about the money. They just want to prove it. They want to do it in spite, whatever. I don't know. That's my take. I think the majority of lawsuits are emotional.
Yeah. You got to turn the other cheek. You know, you got to protect your interests, obviously, but I want to think of, you know, the money and the time you're going to spend and the money you're going to put in. Think of it like an investment. You know, if I'm in a situation, I got a claim against somebody. Am I going to invest my time and my money with lawyers to get a return? Is this actually going to pay me back? You should think of it that way. Just take the emotion and what happened out of it. It's really dollars and cents, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, I'm not saying that there's not money at stake in these lawsuits, but when they do the cost benefit analysis and you look at, I'm either not going to get the money out of this guy or gal, it's not worth the time, it's not worth the effort. Why are you doing this? Oh, emotional. That's what I'm saying. There's money at stake. I get it. And there's good financial reasons why maybe you should file a lawsuit. But then a lot of times there's not a good financial reason to continue. And so it gets emotional. All right. Well, okay, Matt, I'm going to throw down a tax/financial tip. Are you ready? Buckle up.
All right. Buckled.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. So now I said tax tip slash financial for a reason.
That's like the actor slash waiter. Or is it waiter slash actor? I don't know.
Touche. It's probably waiter slash actor. So I give the caveat financial because as an accountant, I meet with so many clients on a financial basis. You know, what's going on? Are we saving taxes? Are we saving money? Are we building wealth? And debt is always an important conversation. This is a topic in my new book coming out this fall, Getting Out of Debt, one of the three basic steps before you even invest. And stay tuned for the other two. Just a little spoiler alert on this one. But getting out of debt. So what I wanted to talk about, and for some of you out there that have too much bad debt. Now, there's good debt and bad debt. Using debt to buy rental properties or cash flow investments, that makes sense. Buying your own home with a mortgage, that makes sense. It's a good investment. Sometimes it's a financial cash flow type investment. Sometimes it's just good buy and hold mentality. But there's bad debt, and that's consumer debt, and that's credit cards, and there's things that need to and should be paid off. So I wanted to just bring up the concept of the debt snowball. Now, anybody out there that's gotten out of debt, you've heard of the debt snowball concept. I want to give homage to the father of the debt snowball, Dave Ramsey. The guy's freaking amazing. I love Dave. And he helps a lot of in a certain cross-section of America that need his get out of debt, pay off your home mentality. But we as entrepreneurs, a lot of times get into debt through our businesses. And I know that I'm speaking to a different cross-section, you, the listeners of Refresh Your Wealth. And everybody listening may have a little credit card debt. The debt snowball is a method of categorizing your debt, not based on interest rate, not based on the amount of the payment. It's based on the amount of the debt. And you start with the least amount first. You get it paid off. Then you start snowballing the payments that you would have paid on that one to the next one. Get that one paid off, pay minimums on the other, and then you snowball to the next. And it builds momentum, it builds confidence, and it gets you out of debt. Folks, if you want to get out of debt, it's one of the most effective ways to do it. And it's an ugly topic, but we're here for you. We want to talk about those ugly things because I've been in debt. I've used a debt snowball. You just can't be an entrepreneur and not get into problems with debt over a career, over a lifetime. And so I don't want you, anybody out there, and this is an emotional point of the show, is don't feel like you're alone. Being a small business owner can be very lonely. Being in debt can be crushing. It can be debilitating. There's people that it affects their health to the point of heart attacks or even suicide. Just reach out. If you'd like a debt snowball plan and a little summary of how to do it, send me an email. I'll send it to you for free. A little video on how to build a snowball and a snowball spreadsheet to get started. It's free. If you email me, I'll send it to you. Randy probably won't appreciate that, but send me an email and it's for free. Mark@markjkohler.com. Mark, M-A-R-K at markjkohler, K-O-H-L-E-R.com. Kind of my personal email there. Send that to me and I'll send you a debt snowball. There you go, Matt. That's my tip. Get out of debt.
I love it. No, that is a good strategy. And that's for having financial independence or, you know, freedom, whatever you want to call it. Man, that's, you got to start there.
Starts there. Yeah, it starts there. I like how you said that. Okay.
All right.
Well, can I introduce our guest? Let me get him on the line. Okay. Hey, we got Matt Sorensen on the line. That was pretty dorky. Okay. Anyway, folks, if you have been listening this entire show, you know what's coming next. We're going to talk about self-directing your IRA with the author of the best-selling book in America, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook, with the one and only Matt Sorensen, my amazing co-host and partner in the law firm, who I just consider a blood brother. Brother from another mother. Is that what you say? Whatever. So whatever. Okay. But I love this guy and I'm so grateful he's here with us. So Matt, without any further ado, let me just ask, what's the big deal? Why do people need to care about self-directing?
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me on the show. It's truly an honor to be on the Refresh Your Wealth podcast.
You can send your sponsorship check to, Sarah.
Okay. Why is this a big deal? Okay. 25 trillion reasons why. There is $25 trillion in retirement accounts in the United States right now.
Wow.
I mean, how many times do you even get to say the word trillion? Not when I'm down at the bank. That's for sure.
No, let's get back to debt.
There you go. Okay. So, but this is retirement accounts have turned into the largest concentration of wealth in America. When you think of people and where they have investable cash right now, the typical American, and this could be kind of middle America, this could be high net worth people. Where they have investable cash is in their retirement accounts. Yet people have kind of only known, oh, I can buy stocks, bonds, and mutual funds with my retirement account. So what self-directing basically is how can I use my retirement account dollars in a tax-efficient way to invest in other things, not just stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, but what if I want to invest in real estate? What if I want to invest in a startup? And that's what self-directing is. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, well, crap, I don't have any money in retirement accounts, this is really important for you too, because maybe you're running a business. Maybe you're doing real estate deals. There's other people that have $25 trillion in retirement accounts. If you're out there raising money for anything and you're talking to someone, it's more likely they have money in a retirement account to invest than they do in a cash savings account or personal investment account. So these rules are really important for those of you who even don't have retirement accounts.
Yeah, no, I love it. Great perspective, response. I talk to so many clients that in the ups and downs of the stock market. Now, of course, right now we're seeing this incredible run in Wall Street, and a lot of people think, "Oh, I better get involved." And then this is the wrong time to invest in Wall Street because we're at the top of another. It's cyclical. I don't want to say the B word bubble, but we're at the top of another cycle. You look at the history of Wall Street. And now I'm not down on Wall Street. We all need a piece of Wall Street products in our portfolio somewhere. But the consistency of being able to self-direct. Matt, can you explain what self-direct means? Now, there's a big deal. There's a lot of money out there. But what is self-direct? Some people are like, what in the crap are they talking about? What does self-direct mean in most simplistic form?
Yeah. So self-directing is basically where you can choose what investments your retirement account can invest into. And so if I have a self-directed IRA, what that means is I can invest that account into any investment allowed by law. So it's like if I'm at Merrill Lynch, you know, or Fidelity, and I have an IRA there, and I say, all right, Merrill Lynch, I want to invest my IRA and I want to buy this duplex down the street from me. I want to rent it out. I want to make an investment. I want my IRA to do that. Merrill Lynch is going to say, ah, you can't do that. Now, it's not because the laws don't allow you to do that. It's because Merrill Lynch doesn't allow you to do that. And it's their own restrictions. They've restricted your account. Really, every IRA is self-directed unless you put it with the custodian that doesn't let you self-direct. It's kind of like, you know, if you're at Arby's and you ask for a chalupa, okay, Arby's is going to say you can't have a chalupa because it's not on their menu. You're at Merrill Lynch, you're eating, you know, roast beef sandwiches, which is, I would say, mutual funds. Maybe some curly fries, which you get some stocks. I don't know.
This is going down the wrong path.
but what I'm saying is what self-directing is, you got to get to the right place. So it's not a legal concept. It's just you're at the wrong company. So if I'm at Merrill Lynch, I got to move my account to a custodian who allows me to self-direct. If I want a chalupa, I got to go to Taco Bell. So you got I haven't had lunch yet, okay?
Okay, all right. Because I was going to ask him, what is a chalupa? But let's not go there. Here, now, I like another way that you've said it many times, Matt, from the stage and on the show, is invest in what you know best.
Yeah.
Stay diversified. Doesn't mean Wall Street's the devil, but you've got to find some balance. And yeah, this is where you can take your IRA and 401k and invest in what you know best. Before we talk about maybe the steps to make that happen, can you give us a kind of an example of what people are investing in now? I mean, get us excited. What are some? Give us a couple home run story and maybe a couple base hits and a couple home runs. What's going on out there?
Yeah. So I love what you said. Invest in what you know. That's what we like to preach. You know, and when I speak, you know, I'll go speak to a real estate audience and I ask them, what mutual fund? Does anybody have a good mutual fund you should buy? No one raises their hand. I say, how many of you have retirement accounts that own mutual funds? Half the room raises their hands. I say, and no one even is like, I don't even know what mutual funds I even have. I couldn't even tell you the name of them. I don't even know. I don't even know what stocks that mutual fund has. I don't even know how it's performed. But then I ask them, what real estate deals do you know? Do you know a good real estate deal? Everyone raises their
Hold
hand.
Room. Boom.
Yeah. So it's like, why are you putting all your money into something you have no idea? And everybody's like, well, I just want to be in the market. I just feel like I got to be in the market. Well, why don't you like have a competitive advantage and invest in what you know? So the most famous from, at least in the popular media, is Mitt Romney during his presidential run. I can't believe this is, you know, before Trump, if you remember the pre-Trump era.
Oh, you mean that? Yeah, that wealthy guy that we didn't want to vote into as president because he was wealthy. Yeah, that guy.
Definitely. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, not the billionaire one, but just the hundred millionaire one. So Romney was, what he did is he was in private equity. You know, his job was basically as a consultant, and companies would come to him that were small, early growth, or they were companies that were facing problems, and then they needed changes, they needed advice, and they also always needed to raise money. So what him and his partners decided to do is, hey, why don't we help these people raise money? And you know what? We're actually really good at helping these companies turn around or become profitable. We're going to invest our IRAs into these companies. And what happened is he ended up having on his presidential report that he had to file for running for president, having an IRA of, I think they put it in a range of 25 to 100 million. That's like the check the box category for an IRA asset, I guess. And everybody's like, wait a second, how do you have a $25 million IRA? You can only put in like $5,500 bucks a year. And it's like, well, I wasn't just buying stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. I was getting great returns investing in what I know. And so like he was investing his money in like Staples when it was like one store, or Sealy Mattress when it was like you couldn't even find it anywhere. And these are companies that the Wall Street Journal documented through the process that showed how his IRA grew. There's a little section in my book too on how he did that. But you know, the other one would be that this is just popular media, is that if you've seen the movie The Social Network, which is about how Facebook came about. There's a scene in there of this outside venture capitalist that comes in and invests money. It's like the first outside venture capitalist. And he kind of comes into their new offices, and it's when they're pushing Eduardo Saverin out. And that venture capitalist was, in real life, Peter Thiel, who invested in Facebook with his Roth IRA.
Oh.
He reportedly has the largest Roth IRA in the United States of about like $900 million, $1 billion. So, but he's not getting that by putting $5,500 bucks in a year. Okay. He invested in Facebook when no one knew what the heck it was, because that's what he did. He was a tech entrepreneur. He invested in what he knew. Now, what most people are doing, though, is they're investing in real estate deals. They're buying rental properties. They're investing, if they have this expertise in a certain industry, they invest in that industry. So that's really what self-directing is investing in what you know and realizing that you can take the handcuffs off. You're not just stuck with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds and publicly traded companies.
Yeah, I love it. And by the way, for those, I know we have some seasoned self-directed IRA investors listening to the show, because they know knowledge is power, and they're going to wade through Matt and I's dumb dumb jokes and our little basic examples here for a minute, because I got a couple climaxes to the show. The end of the show, Matt's going to tell us about several of his clients, not their names, of course, but he's got over 10 clients with $5 million plus in a Roth IRA. You know, maybe share an example or two of how they've done this. And we'll get very technical as we near the end of the show. So hang tight for that complexity. But for the basics out there, Matt, if I may add, mm-hmm. I think what's fun, a couple other ideas, is I have clients that will trade mobile homes inside their IRAs, buy mobile homes and flip them, mm-hmm. low price valued real estate. I have clients that do hard money loans, just lending.
Yeah.
Clients that will buy racehorses and sell racehorses inside their IRA. Clients that recently, I just had one that started an internet business. Many of you know that e-commerce is huge. So I had a client with his 401k form a C corporation, funded it with his 401k, and is doing e-commerce. And just last week, he called me and he goes, "Mark, I got an offer for my business. I don't even want to sell, but this company came in and wants to buy my little e-commerce site because they think it's great." And I said, "Well, do you want to sell?" He goes, "Well, I guess." And I go, "Which one is this?" And he goes, "It's the one open by 401k. I'm like, "What?" I go, "Dude, all that money is tax-free, right, in your 401k. And he's like, "Really? What? You mean when I sell, I get all? I mean, it just blew his mind. But it could be e-commerce. It could be buying concert tickets and reselling concert tickets. So invest in what you know. Now, Matt, give us the basic steps. Let's say I left a job a few years back, and I got a 401k sitting on the shelf with some mutual funds. I don't know what's going on. Or maybe I've been putting money in my IRA every year for a few years, and I got a few $10,000 or $20,000, a few thousand dollars, and it's sitting in an IRA. Let's say I've got that IRA or old 401k.
Yeah.
How do I get to this level? Is it really complex? Have I got to sell my soul?
Yeah. So step one is you're going to need a self-directed IRA. So you got to go to the self-directed IRA custodian who lets you invest in what you want. Now, there's only a few restrictions on what you can't buy. So step one is I'm going to move my money from Fidelity or TD Ameritrade or wherever else that they've got my, I'm restricted. I go to a self-directed IRA custodian. There's like 30 of them out there. And then I say, all right, I want to go buy this real estate project or investment, or I want to go
now,
buy
hold on,
this.
Matt. Yes. I got to ask, when I move that money, do I pay taxes?
It's tax-free. It's like you're gone from Charles Schwab to Merrill Lynch. You've just changed the custodian of the
account. Don't I pay a penalty?
There's no penalty.
How much does this cost? I got to pay something, right?
Well, You're going to pay a new account fee, but there's no tax, no penalty.
Probably thousands of dollars for a new account fee, right?
Well, it might be a few hundred bucks.
Okay. All right. So for a few hundred bucks, I'm moving my old IRA.
Three
to
easy
new
payments of $100.
As long as I get a knife set out of this bad boy, I'm cool. So yeah, I get a new toaster. Yeah, I get a new toaster. I open this bank account for my IRA with a custodian that's flexible.
Yep.
No penalties, no tax, a couple hundred bucks at most. Boom, I'm up and going. All right, now my money's there. They call me on day two.
Yeah.
What happens?
And now let me say this, and this is another important part. Sometimes people miss. Why do people do this? Now, I said earlier that people do this because that's where all the money is. Okay, that's why I got into this, is because I'm like, well, there's $25 trillion there. And I'll probably have a job in here if I figure this stuff out. But the other part is why are people doing this? Well, remember when you buy stock in your IRA or 401k and you buy Apple stock for $100 a share and then it goes to $150 and you sell it for a profit? All that money just goes back into your 401k and you don't have to pay any taxes. It's like, you know, there's no capital gains tax on that. Well, that's the same thing if you bought real estate or you bought a private company ownership for $100 or $100,000, you sell it for $150. The profit goes back into the retirement account. And you don't pay any tax on the gain. And if it's a Roth IRA, it's going to come out totally tax-free. So we have all these tax incentives on how to use this account and this money. So just keep that in mind. We're getting tax benefits on all these investments. It's not just the stocks, bonds, and mutual funds I got to buy to get that. So now the first thing you're going to do is once you find the investment, you're going to enter into an agreement in the name of the IRA. So if I'm buying real estate or I'm investing in a company or I'm lending money on something, the owner of that asset is not Matt Sorensen. It's Matt Sorensen's IRA. So once you start self-directing, one of the things to keep in mind, you've got to do stuff in the name of the IRA. It's not you personally anymore. It's your IRA. Now, a lot of people use what's called an IRA LLC. We have prior shows on that. I've got a ton of videos, a whole chapter in my book on using an IRA LLC, sometimes called a checkbook control IRA. But that's a way that your IRA owns an LLC, and the LLC then goes out and makes the investments. It gives you a lot more freedom and control.
Yep. And I like, and custodians, if any of you don't want to go the LLC route, and it's a simple investment, the custodian's website, I think this is every custodian out there, has a website where you download the forms, fill it out, tell them what to do, and you direct them by yourself, self-directed, hence, to do something, and then the custodian does what you say. And that's the self-directed function. And then when the profits come, the profits go back to that custodian. They send you a letter or an email and go, hey, your self-directed investment made money. You go, thank you. Just put it in the account. You know.
And it's, you know, let's say it's a rental property, for example. You know, there's could be a lot of things going on there. You got the rental income coming in. You got expenses on the property going out. If it's a loan, obviously you got the loan payments coming in. And but that's building up in the retirement account. So, which is good. Remember, tax deferred if it's traditional, tax free if it's Roth. I mean, you know, tax free, particularly with Roth accounts, there's nowhere else you get this deal in the United States. All right. This is, for those of you who've learned about Roth accounts and come to love them, once you learn how to self direct it, I mean, it takes it to the next level.
Yep. Now, on those steps, let me just give a couple self serving comments. I apologize, folks. But if you feel like, okay, this is cool, I want to learn more. And I know, again, folks that know what they're doing, we're going to get to some complex stuff here in a minute. I want to make a couple important points that'll, I think, rock your world. But for those that are just getting started in this, keep in mind, a little self-study is very helpful. Pick up a copy of Matt's book. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it in print. Just get to Amazon. Number two, you can always set up a consult with one of our lawyers for even just a half an hour. Pay for a half hour to an hour. We'll apply that consult to the cost of setting up an LLC if you go that route. But many of you will go talk to your accountant and they'll freak out. They'll go, I've never heard of that. You shouldn't do it. That's bad. You'll go to your broker, heaven forbid, and they're going to go, oh my gosh, that's the end of the world. Don't do it. And if you're listening to Jim Cramer on Mad Money, you know, on Fox, he's going to hit a button, a blow horn or whistle and say, oh my gosh, the last thing you want to do is self-direct. You're going to lose all your money. Let me tell you about this blue chip stock, blah, blah, blah. Guys, this is your freaking money. You're driving the car. You choose who you put in the back seat. Don't let someone else tell you. So if you need a consult from people that are uninterested in investing your money, we don't want to make money off of you. We don't want to be your investment advisor. We want to just set up the LLC, give you straight answers so you can make a decision that's in your best interest. So do some self-study. Watch some of Matt's videos. Get to his website. Watch the summit we did a few months ago. You can go watch a recording of that. So a little bit of self-study will go a long way on the steps of how to
and
do
you,
it.
And you have to do that. You have to learn the rules on how to self-direct an account. And your custodian's not going to hold your hand and train you. And you're going to sign documents and forms, by the way, with your custodian that says, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm responsible for my own decisions. You're not looking over my shoulder. You're just doing what I tell you to do. And that's what the self-directed part is. Now, what I tell people is self-directing your IRA and learning how to do it is like learning a new board game. Okay, if you sit down and start playing and you didn't read the rule book or you didn't sit down with someone that's done it before, you're going to mess it up. And if you've ever played with someone a new game, I don't care what it is, and they don't know the rules, you hate that person. And they didn't even take the time to ask how to do it. They're just moving pieces around and trying to collect $200 wherever the heck they go, and they screw it up, okay? So you got to learn the rules first before you play the
game.
Good
analogy.
Yeah, thank you. I've been using that one for years.
Now, I love it. Okay, now let's go over a couple rules. You know, I want to say something real quick, and then I want to ask Matt about some of the rules we need to know. Well, maybe the top three or something like that. Matt, in fact, while I'm making my comment, why don't you think of the top three rules would tell someone? This is unscripted, folks. This is crazy radio, crazy talk. Okay, so here's my comment real quick. There's some professionals out there, some gurus, written books, that when we start talking about self-directed IRAs, they completely dismiss it. They think that investing in an IRA or 401k is a bad idea because someday you're going to have to pay the taxes. So you defer the income and you get a good investment. Maybe you get a write-off. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's a Roth. But the point is, if it's a traditional IRA or 401k, you're going to pay taxes someday, and they're going to start shopping insurance. They're going to start saying, buy real estate in your own name. And they're going to say, stay away from any sort of tax-deferred vehicle. Folks, I'm not here to, diss on insurance and say insurance is bad or any other type of investment. I'm here to say this. This is important. Have a variety. Be diversified. Now, I hate to use that word because it's overused by Wall Street. But the point is, as an entrepreneur, it's not just your business that's your asset. It's not just your IRA or 401k. It's not just a whole life insurance policy. It's doing a little of everything. So when we talk about self-directing, please know, people, we're not saying put every dime you've got in self-directing. We're not saying, double down on a Subway restaurant across town in your 401k. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying diversify. It's not all stocks, bonds, mutual funds. There you go. So when someone's trying to sell you insurance and tell you not to use a 401k at all, something's wrong. And if someone's telling you to use a 401k and stay away from insurance, something's wrong. Find a balance. All right, Matt, there you go. That was my deep comment. Mm-hmm. And top three, give me top three things to know when it comes to rules I should know.
Okay, first one, easy. There's only a few things you cannot own with an IRA. That is S corporation stock, life insurance, and collectible items. That's it. So you can't buy a wine collection. Those turn into bottle collections. So that's a no-go. You can't buy an antique car. But more practically, you can't own an S corporation stock. A lot of our clients will use LLCs. Their IRA will own an LLC, maybe 100%, or it'll partner in with other people into an LLC, and that's totally fine. There's just a restriction on S corporations. So that's number one, what you can't do. Everything else is fair game. Everything else.
Fair enough. Number one.
All right. Number two, there's something called the prohibited transaction rules. Okay. This is a set of rules that Congress basically created because they don't trust you. They know what they do not.
Sons of.
Because what they know is these retirement accounts, if it's a Roth, it's totally tax free. And if it's traditional, it's tax deferred. So they said these are special accounts and we don't want people to manipulate transactions to unfairly push income to the retirement account. So what they said is, we won't let you personally transact with your retirement account, nor will we let certain people who we call disqualified persons, and this includes a lot of family members, like your spouse, your kids, your parents. So for example, if my dad had a rental property, let's say this duplex I wanted to buy with my IRA was my dad's, and he wanted to sell that to my IRA, my self-directed IRA, we couldn't do that because my father is disqualified. So that would cause this prohibited transaction. Now, if it was my uncle or just some other unrelated person, more distant family member, it's fine. There's no problem with that. The issue is who's on the other end of the transaction. That's what makes it a prohibited transaction. One other part to prohibited transaction is you can't make money personally. Remember, you're not buying investments to make money personally. You're not buying a piece of real estate to go live in it during the summers. Okay, this needs to be an investment. You're holding these for investment purposes.
That's number two.
Yeah. By the way, I have four chapters in my book on that one topic alone. It's really important. So that's prohibited transactions.
Yeah, FYI.
In a nutshell of a nutshell.
All right.
Or what do they call those things in Russia? I don't know.
Oh, Matryoshkadol. So
this is the – this is about – this is like seven layers in on the Matryoshkadol. Okay.
That's seven-layer dip. You're at the bottom of the Tupperware. Okay, got it. All right. So number three. What's our number three? Do not do. You're being an idiot.
Okay. You still with me? This is a third section of the tax code. How exciting is this, guys? Yeah. Okay. This is the third thing you need to know. It's called UBIT tax, unrelated business income tax. Sometimes people like to call it UBTI, the people who like to play fast and loose. So what this is essentially a tax that Congress created. And the best way to understand it is retirement accounts were designed to receive investment income. So I'm getting capital gain income, rental income, interest income, dividend income. That's all investment income. I want my retirement account to get that. Yeah, passive. Retirement accounts are designed to get that type of stuff and not pay tax when they do. But if you get business income or ordinary income in your retirement account, you have to pay a toll. You can do it, but but you got to pay this tax called unrelated business income tax. So, for example, if my IRA goes out and buys a Subway restaurant, because, you know, Mark loves, he loves the $5 footlongs.
Yeah.
Or I think they're $6 now. Okay.
Yeah. They never add up to $5, I'll tell you that. You always screw that one up. Okay, move on.
All right. So now I'm getting income from selling Subways.
Okay.
That's business income. Let's say I have an LLC that owns this thing. It's coming straight through to my IRA. That's business income. Now, if I instead own the real property instead and I just leased it, maybe I had some tenant that was a Subway, that's rental income. That goes into my IRA, no tax. But if I own the business that's selling a product or goods and services, that's business income. That causes this UBIT tax for my IRA. So what UBIT is.
Yeah, and I can add, just to play off your example, you may say, well, why does my IRA get taxed when I invest in a Subway franchise? Well, the reality is that the government's trying to make retirement accounts fair game when it comes to operational businesses. Because Jimmy John's down the street is saying, hey, that's not fair. That Subway's not paying taxes because some guy bought it with his IRA or invested with his IRA. We've got to keep operational businesses on the same playing field.
Yeah.
Anyway, big topic, Matt, another topic for your book. But the point is, if I may say, is, folks, if you're going to do an operational business with your IRA, there's options. There's strategies. Just call us.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one thing with self-directed IRAs is there's a lot to learn. But all you need to learn about is what you're trying to do. Most of our clients are investing in what they know. They stay in their lane. They invest in the things they do. And they keep doing the same thing over and over again. So once you got the basic template down, so to speak, you know, you got the cookie cutter mold, you just do the same thing over and over and you don't need to consult with us every time. Now, if you change the deals, sometimes that changes the strategy and you'll need some more advice. But don't feel like you're going to be calling a lawyer or having to research everything every time you do something. You're usually going to be doing the same thing over and over. So just figure out the right structure for you.
I love it. Now, okay, we're going to take this to the next level. And this is, again, I did not tell Matt I was going to do this, so I'm throwing this down. So, Matt Sorensen, I want to take the show to the next level, and I want to throw out the coolest, most creative strategy you've seen lately using an IRA. So we're getting away from the basics now. I got my custodian. I may have an LLC. I've learned my three do's and don'ts. I'm staying in my lane. I like that example of yours. Stay in my lane. I've learned the rules for my type of deals. But what have you seen creative lately? Let's kind of wow some of our regular listeners that are already self-directing. Anything cool lately you've seen?
Okay, here's a cool one. I've talked about this at my summit briefly, kind of about how to supercharge your retirement account. And this is a strategy I came up with a client who was essentially a real estate syndicator. So what this guy did as a job is he'd go out and he'd find a good real estate deal. He'd find an apartment building. He'd get it under contract. He'd go to all of his investor buddies who invested in his deals for years, goes and raises the money. He keeps a big chunk of the percent because he found the deal and he's going to run it. And he gets, 30, 20% of the deal. And then the investors pay the rest and get a share of the rest of the profits. Now, this is what he's done for a long time. And there's a lot of people out there that do that. You know, that's essentially what private equity funds or hedge funds. I mean, they're kind of a different version of that. But what he wanted to do is, how can I use my retirement account to do that? Well, I can't just have my retirement account get the fees. So what we did is we engineered a way to do that. Now what we do is we have his retirement account own an LLC 100%, go out and find a property, put it under contract. It owns the company 100%. It only is going to put down some earnest money and do some initial due diligence. But then it sells units later to these other investors who are just unrelated investors, again, that invest in other deals. And they come in and they pay a premium, a higher price to get the rest of the ownership. So somebody may be paying to get 20% ownership in this company. They may be paying $500,000 or $1 million. My client maybe put in $25,000 from their retirement account because they went in first. They took the risk. They got the property under contract. Now there's value in the LLC that other people are willing to pay more for. He didn't have to close and buy the whole property. He just needed to get in first and then raise the money to get more. So in this client's done, there's usually multifamily deals. And he just keeps his IRA in there for that 20%. And it just gets cash flow of 20% for putting in, a very good investment. And so that's one structure that's kind of cool. There's a lot of important moving parts to that. I just want to say that. Don't just go out and do that how I explained it. There's some technical points on how to make sure you do that properly. But another one, I just will say this, and this is a client that has a $10 million plus Roth 401k, actually. And what he did is he had about a $500,000 401k about 15 years ago, worked for a Fortune 500 company for a long time. He rolled it over and started self-directing it. And what he started doing was just hard money loans. He kind of tried to do real estate a little bit, but eventually he realized, you know what? I have this big chunk of money. Everyone's always out needing money for deals. He just became a hard money lender. He's charging, you know, at some point 15 to 20% down in like 2008 when the real estate market really fell. Now he's more like 10% and 2 points or 1 point. But just keeping that money invested over time, he's over $10 million. Because he'll fund it to people on a short-term basis. These are people typically doing fix and flip real estate. The loan terms are usually 6 months. So he can get a 12 to 20% return on the money twice in the year. You know what I mean? And if he keeps that rate going, which is what he's done, over a 15-year window of when he's done this, the account's grown to over $10 million. So, but that's keeping consistent, making good investments, obviously doing due diligence. And now he's very well known, so he can keep his money invested at all times. He's got plenty of deal flow coming in to keep that money invested and active.
I love it. Well, I love it, Matt. Excellent ideas. And just another one that might be exciting for some of you that have wanted to do wholesaling, which is locking down properties, or maybe you're selling a product and you can buy it at a low price and then resell it. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the strategy of the investment I want to talk about. A lot of people don't realize they can do this in their health savings account. So just adding another layer to this. Forget about your IRA, forget about your 401k. Realize that over 50% of Americans claim bankruptcy each year due to medical bills and medical debt. And Obamacare, regrettably, is slowly, slowly imploding. And I'm not saying that the Republicans have the perfect answer or any answer at all, or that Trump does either. Mm-hmm. But it's a mess out there, and a lot of people are losing their insurance. And the plans are dropping out of states, and it's ugly. So why not self-insure yourself? So I had a client recently that created an LLC just owned by a health savings account. He opened for $5,000. He had $5,000 in a little LLC, but he didn't own it. His IRA didn't own it. His health savings account did. Mm. And so he started locking down property under contract with a refundable or non-refundable deposit, and then wholesaling that property to other investors that saw value in what he locked down. That's the concept of wholesaling. Go buy a book on it. But the beauty of wholesaling is once you learn how to find good property deals and tie them up and then resell them to other investors and you get into that industry, you can make a lot of money with very little money down. Why not do that in your health savings account? You can just pay for all of your health care if your health savings account for years to come. By doing two or three deals a year, one deal a year, whatever it is, your health savings account can grow. And every time you pass go, you can put another $5,000, $6,000 in it and just build that account. So kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But another little idea.
Yeah. And there's so much to this. There's even solo 401ks that are self-directed a lot. We help hundreds of clients with those. We've set many of them up. We've got separate shows in the podcast history you can find on just even solo 401ks. So there's a lot to go with this topic, and we wanted to keep it basic, though, and just give you, you know, for those of you getting started or you've heard our show before and you hear us always talking about self-directed accounts, this is what it's about. And if you've also got your friends out there that are like, man, I just want to tell my friends how to learn about this, drop them this podcast, share it with them. It's a great way for them to just learn the basics and how to get started. And then, of course, you know, Mark and I have some great resources on how to do this.
Oh, yeah, Matt, great advice. And Matt has just taken this to a whole new level for our firm, and all of the attorneys here just walk around the office and throw, you know, grape leaves at Matt. he's the guru around here, the sensei, if you will, of self-directed accounts around
the
country.
One thing, so one thing. One
that's
thing.
It. It's only that. I mean, there's nothing else. That. Trust yeah, me. Yeah, it's, it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. In our NFL pool we're setting up this fall, I plan on fleecing Matt for hundreds of dollars because it's not pretty. He does not know the NFL. Yeah. Anyway, well,
that will happen.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thanks for giving us a little bit of your knowledge and wisdom today. And I want to thank all of you for listening. Please, if you found this helpful, share it. Give us a little review on iTunes. and continue to listen. We're going to bring you great topics every week. Once a month, we do an open forum show where we want to field your questions live across the country on tax and legal topics. And we just want to say thank you for sharing your life with ours. And this is a fun, fun thing that we love to do every week, is to have a little radio show and talk turkey. Matt, any final words?
Final words, stay calm, self-direct on.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.